In the name of the Lamb of God, dear friends, what are you giving up for Lent? Oh, you don't have to give something up for Lent, but some people do, just to remind them by their small sacrifice that Jesus sacrificed for them. I've joked any number of times that I gave up jogging for Lent many years ago, and I've been able to continue that sacrifice up until this very day. I joke about it because it's not something that God commands that we do. However, some would not consider this a joking matter, because this is about the most serious thing, the sacrifice of God giving up his Son, and Jesus giving up many things in order to serve us, including his very life. If you want to give up chocolate or beer or whatever for these 6 weeks during Lent, that can be a beneficial thing. Doing that for a time can move you to focus on God giving up his Son and Jesus giving up his very life for you. In our first lesson for today, we heard about the father of all believers, about Abraham. Would he be willing to give something up for God? Would he be willing to give something up for God that wouldn't just be for 6 weeks or so, but would he be willing to give something up that he would then do without for the rest of his earthly life? Abraham's story also turns our thoughts to God the Father and his Son, Jesus. Would God go all the way and give him up? As we consider the Genesis 22 account, we view a tremendous sacrifice. As we do, I urge you to look at the love and to look at the Lamb. Abraham was God's man. The Lord picked him out and he called him to follow his lead. He gave him many, many blessings, including a beautiful wife, many possessions, and workers. But above all, God gave to Abraham promises. Abraham and Sarah's boy, Isaac, was the immediate fulfillment of God's promise. Not that they received Isaac immediately, because they didn't. They had to wait for him. But eventually he was born. They could see him with their very own eyes. The longer term fulfillment of God's promise that they would not be alive in this world to see was that through Isaac's descendants, God would send a Savior from sin, a Messiah. As you hear these words of God himself, you can sense the drama in what the Lord commanded Abraham. If this were a movie, I imagine music in the background that just swells with intensity after each phrase of what God commands to Abraham. Take your son. The music swells. Your only son. More intense. Whom you love. Even more intense. Isaac. Incredibly intense. And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. What a thing to ask of Abraham. What would a father who dearly loves his son do? You heard how he showed love to his son as they went along with God's command, but did you catch that love? Did you notice that Abraham did not tell his son why they were traveling to Mount Moriah? In love, he didn't tell Isaac everything that the Lord had told him. Can you picture the innocent face of this probably teenage boy looking up at his father and asking, "The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? His father tells him the truth, but not all the details as they journeyed. He wouldn't have his son worrying, his heart aching as his did as they traveled along. Can you imagine his agony, that last stretch up the mountain, just the two of them, Abraham carrying the fire, Isaac carrying the wood? Can you imagine how Abraham must have been turning over in his mind all of these things the whole way? How can God's promise of a great nation and a savior from sin come true if Isaac is dead? No matter how much he loved his son, Abraham loved God more. And ultimately, he had confidence that both of these things could happen with God. Although Abraham had never witnessed it, he knew that God could raise the dead if he wanted to. We're told in the New Testament book of Hebrews that this is what Abraham eventually thought. That was his consolation as he hiked side by side with his son. I should say something else about this father and this son. What faith must have also lived in this boy, raised well by his father to put God first? Once on the mountain, Abraham must have told the boy what God had commanded, because Isaac ended up on the altar. He didn't fight his 115-year-old father, nor did he try to run away. I imagine a teary-eyed father and son who went about the task of obedience to God. What love for each other. But more importantly, what love for God. Now think about God the Father's sacrifice of his son Jesus. You don't think that broke his heart? You don't think that the love between God the Father and Jesus, his son, far surpasses the love that existed between Abraham and Isaac? You don't think that the eyes of Jesus were filled with tears as he looked up to his father and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You don't think there were as many tears in his eyes as there were in Isaac's eyes as he looked up at his father holding the knife over his throat? What about God the Father's heart breaking as Jesus walked up the mountain to Calvary? What about Jesus' love as he carried the wood for his sacrifice, the cross that he would be nailed to? Was it fair to ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Was it any more fair for God to sacrifice Jesus? The love of God the Father and of Jesus is incomprehensible. It only becomes more so when you know the reason God asked this of his son and why Jesus was willing to die. It was because of our sin. Our ugly, awful, self-serving sin. And we're not capable of this kind of love. We're not capable of the love Jesus showed. We are selfish and unloving creatures when you get right down to it. On Mount Moriah, we might well have said no to God's command to put him above our child, because we already say no to God all the time. God says, do this, and we go and do the opposite. God says, believe this, and we don't trust. That's the kind of creatures God saw when he sent his son. his only son, whom he loved, Jesus. Look at the love. Totally undeserved love. Can you even imagine the relief and the love for God when Abraham and Isaac heard the angel of the Lord and saw the lamb, a male sheep, a ram stuck in the bushes? This was not God trying to trick his child. God was strengthening Abraham's faith in this test. And as he looked at Abraham's behavior and he looked beyond into his heart and saw his intent, he could see the love and the trust in God. It was obvious. The Lord would not ask Abraham to follow through on this task. You and I do well to take Abraham as our example when we face difficult situations and see that reliance on God and faithfulness to our Lord are the most important things. The God who loves us is not going to leave us on our own. He's not going to let temptations bombard us that we cannot handle with our faith in him. What a relief it must have been for Abraham to see that lamb that he would sacrifice to the Lord with praise and thanks and love. What a relief for Isaac to see that lamb that would be the substitute for him on that altar of wood and fire. The lamb would suffer and die so that Isaac could live. The lamb would cry out in death in Isaac's place. Isaac would no longer have to worry about painful flames and death. What a rich and vivid real-life illustration this is. No doubt you see the similarities. As I've talked about what happened there on Mount Moriah, your mind already started to drift to Mount Calvary, where the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was the sacrifice. We are Isaac. We were headed for the death and flames of hell because of our sin. But look, there's a lamb. Not just a lamb. The Lamb of God. The perfect sacrifice whose death paid for our imperfect love and our imperfect lives. Where we are disobedient to God, Jesus was perfectly obedient, even including giving up his life as our substitute. It was Jesus, the Lamb of God, who cried out on the cross, "It is finished," as the payment for sins was completed. Jesus' sacrifice means that we no longer have to worry about death and the flames of hell consuming us for eternity. Look at the Lamb for forgiveness and for life. Just as the lamb caught in the thicket gave new life to Isaac and renewed hope to his father, Abraham, so the Lamb of God gives new hope and new life to the believing heart. Whether you give something up for Lent or whether you regularly sacrifice things for God, like your time and your offerings, that isn't going to be what brings you forgiveness of sins. That's not going to be what earns you eternal life. The tremendous sacrifice is not what you and I do for God. It's what God has done for us. The story of Abraham shows his example of faith and trust and love in God above all else. This is inspiring for us. This is inspiring for our lives of faith. But more importantly, it directs our attention to the tremendous sacrifice of God, where we stand in awe and look at the love of God, and we look at the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one through whom we are spared death and hell and are given the freedom to live. freedom to live for him now, freedom to live for him later in heaven. Give all thanks and praise to God as you look at the love of God and as you look at the Lamb of God. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.